London Calling, David here. Not just David here, I've got Simon with me. Superstar Simon, who's going to be guiding Shoe Leather on Pavement, an Oscar Wilde walk, tomorrow. Simon, is this the first one out on the streets you've done since this lockdown?
First of all, good afternoon, everyone. Nice to be with you, David. Actually, it's not the first one I've done on the streets, because the first one I did was yesterday. I did our Inside Covent Garden walk yesterday morning, so I guess it will be the second tomorrow.
Yeah.
The second.
So how is this, you know, I've taken to calling it the lost year. It's now more than a year, although we did have those two interim periods of a few months each when we were able to be out and guiding. But has it changed things for you? I mean, you must have been doing quite a bit of reading. Of course, I know you've been phenomenally busy with the virtual tours. So what do you say? Have things changed for you and the approach that you're going to take to when you're out on the street again?
Yeah, well, I think because we're using so much more, so many more images on our virtual tours. You know, we're able to use, you know, fantastic photographs and archive material. I'm kind of thinking, you know, bringing more of that to a physical walk, which, you know, I think many of us do that anyway, probably, but I think maybe even more so is be able to show people a building and then show people what that building looked like 100 years ago or 150 years ago. That's one of the things I've got from doing the virtual tours. And I think I've just expanded my knowledge generally about lots of other subjects through virtual tours. Yeah. So I guess that kind of enriches just, you know, an existing walk, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's been exactly my experience as well. I'm going to start taking some images with me. I mean, obviously, on a virtual tour, we're sometimes showing 100 to 150, and you can't lug 100 and 150 around, but you can take a few. And I've just been completely converted now to that. So yeah, that's interesting, and I bet other guides feel that way as well who've done virtual tours. One big difference, of course, is, well, first of all, the groups are much, much smaller at the moment, and this will be a one-off. This will be unique, it seems to me. There's no tourists in London, so, you know, I took one person yesterday. I've taken two a couple of times. I've taken four, taken seven. It's just changes it, obviously, from when you're taking 25 or 30 around. Any comments about that?
Yeah, well, yes, of course. I mean, you can have a much more personal experience with people, for sure. And, you know, I just think what's really nice is that more and more Londoners are not necessarily Londoners, but people maybe are coming from just out of town, coming on walks. So people have definitely been doing that much more, haven't they? Exploring their own city. So we're seeing much more of that. In fact, one of the guests I had eight yesterday morning, and one of the guests yesterday is one of our very regular participants in the virtual tour program. Had been living in the US in the beginning of the lockdown, and actually he's moved here during the pandemic, so he's actually moved to the UK. I mean, what a time to choose to move. Absolutely. But he said it had been his lifelong dream to move to the UK,
yeah,
and live in the UK. So he thought, I'll do it in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah,
why not? So yeah, he was one of the guests yesterday.
So let's just hear a little bit about this one specifically. So it starts at Green Park Tube, the north exit. Is that right? Give us a couple of the point outs, Simon. I mean, where do you go first, and what are a couple of things that they're likely not to see unless they've got you along directing their gaze? And then the second question is something that they will see, but they won't see it as well, so to speak, as they see it if they see it with your eyes. I mean, that let's get around to that wonderful the sculpture by St. Martin in the Fields. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. But what about the first part of the question? Where do you go from Green Park? And
so I normally go west along Piccadilly from Green Park, and I usually make my first stop just outside Cambridge House. which for listeners that don't know, that is a mid-18th century townhouse on Piccadilly, which is currently being turned into a hotel, I think, at the moment. And right across the road is a set of beautiful blue and gold gates, and those gates were from Devonshire House, which was another 18th century townhouse, which used to be on the site of Piccadilly, of Green Park Underground Station. Now, why do that? Because what I want people to do is, first of all, get a sense of the world in which Oscar Wilde was living and working. And when he was operating in the 1880s and 1890s, around Piccadilly, in Mayfair and in St. James, north and south of Piccadilly, those grand mansions would have lined Piccadilly. And they were inhabited by dukes and duchesses and counts and countesses. And all of those people are the people that he populates within his plays, particularly. And it's in a sense a lost world, isn't it? Because but when you've got Cambridge House, you've got a building that still survives from that period.
Mm-hmm.
So we can still get a sense of what Oscar would have seen.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I like to do, is set the scene. It's setting the scene, which seems an appropriate thing to do, mm-hmm. you know, for an Oscar Wilde.
Are there any individual houses you look at that do not have a blue plaque?
Yeah, so right after we leave Cambridge House, we wander up Half Moon Street, so we're now heading right up into Mayfair, and right up there on the right-hand side is number 14, and that doesn't have a blue plaque, it's actually a private residence. And according to our researches and according to all the things we've learned, that's the building that Oscar sets the opening act of The Importance of Being Earnest. So that's where Algernon Moncrief actually lives. Now, you wouldn't know that. People wouldn't know that, yeah. Unless that was pointed out by one of us, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's great. Yeah,
I mean, I know what's really nice.
Go on.
Yeah. So there's a new hotel that's just about to open across the street from the number 14, which actually, I think it was a hotel. It was the Hilton, but it's set in a beautiful row of Georgian terraced houses, and it's called the Mayfair Townhouse, and they're going to have a bar in there, which is going to be called the Dandy, and they're going to have some Oscar Wilde themed cocktails. So isn't that nice? That, you know, linking in to the history of the area.
And are there any blue plaques? Any Oscar Wilde blue plaques on the route?
Actually, there are no Oscar blue plaques en route. The only blue plaque that we have for Oscar is in Chelsea. So if you go on the Chelsea Walk, you can see where Oscar lived on Tite Street. So there's an official blue plaque there.
Uh-huh.
But there are other blue plaques that link of other people that link into Oscar's life.
Okay.
So for example, there's a plaque to Archibald Primrose, who, as many listeners will know, was the Liberal Prime Minister towards the end of the 19th century. And I better not give too much away, because I don't think I can share why.
Uh-huh.
Why there's a link to Oscar, but there is. So you'll have to come on the walk and find out about that one.
Now, am I right? Is down off St. James's Square, is there a plaque to a theatre that was there? It's no longer there. So it's a modern building. It's got a plaque on it. Or have I?
That's absolutely right. No, you're quite right. So down the little passageway on King Street,
uh-huh.
Just to the right of a pub called the Golden Lion, there is a plaque which tells us that St. James Theatre stood on that site. In fact, the pub is housed in what is left of the theatre building. So there is a remnant of the building.
Okay.
But sadly, yeah, it was pulled down in the 1950s.
Okay, now let's use that then. I've got this obsession that it is not good enough. A guide has to go beyond the blue plaque. It is not any good at all taking people to a house that's got a plaque on it and reading the plaque. They don't need us for that. So can you just give me an idea of, give us an idea of where you go with, you know, that's your springboard, that blue plaque, and there's five or six words there. What do you do with it, though?
Okay, so the plaque tells us, the plaque just in the passageway tells us that that's where the plays of Lady Windermere's Fan and The Importance of Being Earnest were both premiered. So then what I do is I take them further down the passageway, which they might be a little bit hesitant about going down this little passageway, because it's not a very obvious passageway. But then halfway down, there is a relief which contains a relief of Oscar and scenes from his novel, The Picture of Dorian Gray, and plays. And then what I do is I build up a picture of the opening night of The Importance of Being Earnest and what it was like on that opening night, you know, the carriages arriving outside on King Street and, you know, the great and the good getting out. And of course, it was a very dramatic evening because the Marquess of Queensbury, with whom Oscar was involved in this terrible spat because he was having an affair with his younger son, he tries to basically manoeuvre his way into the opening night to create merry hell. He doesn't succeed. Mm-hmm. So I kind of use that to build up the picture, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my feeling about this one is that even if somebody didn't care about Oscar Wilde, doesn't like literature, etc., it's hard for me to imagine anyone like that existing, but there must be some people who feel that way. But it would still, the neighborhood is so special, isn't it? So rich and so visually appealing that even somebody who doesn't give a damn about Oscar Wilde, you know, there's a lot for them there.
Absolutely, because even if they're not a fan of Oscar Wilde, yeah, or his work, as you say, you know, they might love looking at an 18th century Georgian building, or you know, there's the Royal Arcade that we stopped by on Albemarle Street, and that is the, you know, beautiful 1875 arcade with stunning shops in it, and we make all the links with the shops that Oscar frequented. But yeah, so even if they didn't, they can appreciate all the great visual mm-hmm. aspects of the tour. Yeah.
So you start on the north side of Piccadilly. That's Mayfair. Now, clearly, mm-hmm. you also can get to the south side because that blue plaque to the theatre is off St. James's Square. So you're in St. James's there. So that's right. It's both of these sides of Piccadilly, and they're two different neighborhoods, aren't they? Can you say a little bit about those two, Mayfair and St. James's?
Yeah, well, you know, Mayfair was mainly developed in the 18th century, so it was really developed much of it by the Grosvenor family, particularly the north side of Mayfair. But actually, probably if we went on the Mayfair Walk, you'd get more into that whole story. Mm. But yeah, it's mostly developed in the mid-18th century. And what's interesting is that Mayfair in Oscar's day was much more of a bohemian kind of artistic literary area than we might imagine Mayfair today. I mean, what do we think of Mayfair today? I don't know. Might think of, Saudi princes, you know, bombing around Berkeley Square in their, you know, in their flash cars, or, lots of, you know, overseas people investing into properties there. But it's always been moneyed, Mayfair, very much so. But it has changed. The flavour of Mayfair has definitely changed. And, you know, it was certainly an aristocratic neighbourhood also by the 19th century. So lots of characters, as I said, that Oscar writes in the plays are living. They live on Curzon Street in Mayfair, or, you know, Robert Chiltern lives on Grosvenor Square. And actually, there are really funny comments in Lady Bracknell makes a comment in The Importance of Being Earnest about, you know, the unfashionable side of Grosvenor Square, you know, so it's all there. It's
yeah,
all there.
Yeah.
Now, St. James, of course, has always been, in a sense, an older district. And of course, we have St. James's Palace, which was built in the 1500s. And so I would say that's very much a royal, it's a royal village, really, isn't it, St. James? So we have aristocratic Mayfair and royal St. James.
Now you've come dangerously close to something there. You've brushed up against something. Oscar Wilde's, you know, in my estimation, I'll bet in your estimation as well, the greatest dramatist of the last 200 years. And Simon, you're an actor, so I think it's important for a guide to be a performer as well as, you know, getting the hard academic information out there. So what about this? Is this not a marriage made in heaven, you and Oscar Wilde? That's a leading question.
Well, yeah, I like to think so. I like to think so. And I have to say, of all of the many, many walks that I do, Oscar, I do feel a real affinity there. And I do feel, you know, I try really to get the idea with everybody that we're walking in Oscar's footsteps.
Uh-huh.
And I like to think, I do like to think that he's there with us.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully he's smiling along with us as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because of course, as you say, he really was the greatest dramatist of the last 200 years and, you know, the greatest conversationalist of just about any age, perhaps, ever. And with that in mind, I certainly liberally sprink my Oscar walk with his epigrams and his bon mot, because you have to, I think.
You're being way too modest, Simon. He is there with us, but he's there because you conjure him up. You're the one who gets him there.
Yes. Well, yes. I do my very best to do that. Yeah.
What about do you get over to the statue at Trafalgar Square with that one?
Actually, that's a little too far.
Uh-huh.
For our walk, geographically, it's just a little tad too far. Well, it is on my walk, but I suppose you'd have to just maybe cut something else out in order
to
include it in. Yeah.
Well, fair enough, but. You and I can still talk about that statue.
If we could transplant the statue from Charing Cross over to Piccadilly,
yeah,
that'd be really great. It'd be perfect. Yeah.
Well, yeah. You know, I for one would love one day to be along there with my friend Simon. And there it is. And I'd love to hear, you know, what you make of it, what you think of it, because it's been quite controversial, that statue, hasn't it?
Yes, well, it was done, what, in 1993, I think now, by Maggie Hambling, who, again, many listeners will know, and she quite often courts controversy with her work. In fact, she's just unveiled a new work of Mary Wollstonecraft, which has attracted some controversy, although I haven't actually seen that in situ, so I can't comment too much. Quite why it's controversial. Well, I mean, I suppose any work of art is always going to attract, you know, controversy, isn't it? You know, from one side or another. But why is it controversial? Well, because first of all, he's sitting there in a coffin, effectively. So he's kind of sitting upright, and he's got his cigarette in his hand, of course, because he was a chain smoker. But the idea, I think it's a really lovely idea that it's called a conversation with Oscar Wilde, this statue. And you sit on the end, effectively, of this sort of coffin-like plinth. And you do exactly what Oscar would want. He would want to have a conversation with you.
Yeah.
Although, actually, I'm never sure it was ever a conversation with Oscar. I think it was a monologue with interruptions from other people.
Yeah.
I think that's probably what it was like.
I love it, and I'm guessing from the tenor of what you're saying that you're partial to it as well, that you like it as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it captures, you know, just the way the hand comes out with the cigarette, and just it just captures how I think Oscar was probably physically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
Simon, we'll end on this note. You know, where will the walk end? And it starts in the morning, is that right? Or is it an afternoon walk? Remind me again.
Yeah, so it starts at 11 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Outside Green Park Underground Station, north side, remember?
Uh-huh.
And normally I would end the walk at Albany, which, as you know, and many of our listeners will know, is another one of those townhouses. So it's kind of interesting, you know, we start early on with those an 18th century townhouse, and we end at Albany. Because that's where Jack Worthing lives in The Importance of Being Earnest.
Uh-huh.
So then we sort of, we kind of top and tail the walk by, we can imagine Jack Worthing walking from here along Piccadilly to go and pay a call on Algernon, which is the opening act of The Importance of Being Earnest.
Right.
And there are some other very interesting connections to people that have lived in Albany that are connected to Oscar.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Which again, you'll have to find out. They'll have to find out when they come on.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a beautiful spot to finish. And you're right across from Hatchard's, of course, our favourite bookstore, which Oscar frequented. And then I encourage people to go and buy a book of Oscar's quotes from Hatchard's. And then they can really feel themselves, you know, again, in Oscar's world. And then they're just a stone's throw from Piccadilly Circus.
And what about when we get to the promised land of being able to go inside a cafe or a restaurant or a pub and have a drink or have a bite to eat? They've worked up an appetite, 2 hours. So where would you recommend that they go for lunch when that happy day comes?
Well, I suppose I'd have to send them to a suitably Oscar-esque location, wouldn't I?
Yes.
Although he did have very expensive taste, so I suppose we'd have to send people to the Savoy, wouldn't we, to the Savoy Grill, or the Cafe Royal on Regent Street,
uh-huh,
which is still there and a favourite of Oscar's, although it, you know, altered, I have to say, since Oscar's day. Now, one place that he did enjoy very much, which... I don't know if it is going to be open again. I think it is. It's Kettner's in Soho, which is just a 10-minute walk from the end of the walk. So these are all very, very upscale, fancy restaurants. Yeah, it'd be hard to find somewhere. I'm trying to think of somewhere else that's more reasonably priced for lunch.
Yeah, you know,
Oscar didn't do reasonable.
Here's what you could do. You could send them onto my 2 o'clock Kensington walk and Otto Mezzo, the little Italian deli around the corner from where I meet them. But that's
fantastic. Well, that's the thing to do.
That's if they want two walks in 5 hours, as it were. When are you going to do, last question, when are you going to do the virtual tour again, the Oscar Wilde? Any plans to bring that on again?
Oh, yeah, we haven't set a date for that yet, have we? Well, I think probably as we're maybe going to think about sort of resuming virtual tours in a big way in the autumn. I know that we're carrying on through the summer, but I think maybe again Oscar's birthday, October 16th.
Uh-huh.
I think we would definitely do an Oscar birthday revival.
Yeah.
And actually, he died on November the 30th. So maybe we'll do it at the end of November.
And it is certainly the case that they could profitably do both the shoe leather on pavement one and the virtual, because they complement one another, don't they, rather than being carbon copies of each other.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And of course, on a virtual, I mean, we can perhaps spend more time, you know, traveling with Oscar to the US on his lecture tour, for example, in 1884.
Or even Dublin, right?
And go, yeah, Dublin, yeah, where he was born, yeah. And we can go to Chelsea on the virtual tour, whereas we'd have to go to Chelsea, of course, on the Chelsea walk separately
to see
Oscar's house. So we can travel a little bit further afield on a virtual. And then on the physical, of course, yes, we can see all these places that people would look at and not realize that they were associated with the great man himself. Yeah,
really good. Thank you very, very much. And I'm hoping I can twist your arm into doing some more of these with some of your other walks.
Yes, I'll be delighted, David. Of course. any time. And look forward to welcoming our guests and our visitors and our walkers on any of our walks.
They're drilling next door. I don't know if you can hear that.
What's that?
They're drilling next door. So this is life in London anyway.
Exactly.
Thanks very much, Simon. It's great,
Thank
as
you.
Always.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, great stuff. Thanks.